Greetings, every soul. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love for May 19th, 2012. There's a lot of cosmic news these days with tomorrow's solar eclipse at about this same time. And on June 5th, there's a rare Venus transit. And today we have another cosmic event with some insight into cosmos and cosmogenesis with Dr. Amjad Fatemi. And today we'll be discussing Amjad's recent book called The Episode of Life, Consciousness, Creation, and the Universe. It's available on Amazon.com. I think there's Kindle versions of it also, so you might want to look into that. So this is 2012, and I've had about 5 years now hosting Cosmic Love to interview people like Dr. Amjad Fatemi, who are a lot smarter than me about many aspects of cosmos. So I'd like to be bringing a little common sense of their collective message to this conversation with Dr. Fatemi. And, you know, whenever we slip the surly bounds of earthbound perspectives, we sometimes lack the languaging skills to agree on what we are talking about when discussing the quantum reality of the universe and our evolving consciousness in the larger scheme of the soul's eternal progression. So those who are regular listeners know that's one of my favorite subjects, and a lot of our guests bring a lot of insight to that subject. As you probably know by now, I've been progressively integrating a common language of natural cosmic law for framing the concepts of conscious evolution, and then I've been utilizing this pure geometry thought forms of the love model, as I call it, as a frame of reference. And this is what I refer to as the law of the angles of God as geometrically ordered divinity, G-O-D. So this geometrically ordered divinity in the universe as relates to the language of the angels of love as our better divine nature. You know, law of the angles, language of the angels. I play with this a lot in my different shows and go into different aspects of this framework of natural law or cosmic law or the order of the universe. And actually, this concept of cosmic law is framed by the language of geometry, or as Drunvello Melchizedek says, and he's one of my favorite authors and gets into the order of the universe with geometry. And he says that sacred geometry is the root of all language in the universe. It's even more fundamental than mathematics, for all the laws of nature can be derived directly from sacred geometry. And that's from his ancient Secret of the Flower of Life. So anyway, it is 2012, and the language of conscious evolution is going mainstream. We're hearing it in all kinds of versions more and more. And this whole concept of people awakening to the concepts of cosmic law and language is a process that we're seeing with more discussion of all kinds of aspects of this key factor of conscience, or as the chief architect of the Constitution once said, conscience is the most sacred of all property. So today, I'm going to be going more into different frames of reference with Amjad on this, and those who want a little bit more orientation of this frame of reference I'm talking about before I go on, I wanted to mention that I've been stepping up recent writings to better explain these concepts. For the mainstreaming of, you know, kind of a common sense of this common law or universal law language. And my last two articles at my published websites, as I've linked on my Cosmic Love homepage, they're like a table of contents with these last two articles have hyperlinks through them. And it's kind of like a table of contents with these numerous linked articles that over this last year where I've been focusing on this subject, and explains the true meaning of 2012 as a mass awakening process that will utterly transform the collective consciousness of global humanity. I mean, this is big. This is a huge concept. And Dr. Fatemi has a unique perspective on this episode we call life and the process of conscious co-creation with the universe. So, Dr. Fatemi, thank you for being with us on Cosmic Love today.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Reddy.
And I'm grateful to have your perspectives. You have some big concepts in your book, and there are quite a few longtime listeners to this show, so I hope you don't mind if I sometimes jump in and to translate some of your concepts and your comments to accommodate listeners with terms they may be more familiar with, because it's a profound amount of knowledge, information, and concepts. And my objective is always to make the profound simple as possible.
That's great. That's great.
So, to begin with, in your book's introduction, you say that we're entering into a journey of freedom for higher understanding, and intuitive perception would be our guidance. Now, are you saying that our pattern recognition capabilities are evolving from more of a reactive, habitual, lower brain instinctual thing to a more proactive, higher brain intuition? Is that in what you're talking about? I know you mentioned pattern recognition a lot, and I wonder if that's the evolving process you're referring to.
Yes, that's true. But we have to recognize that our journey begins when we will be able to see the connection between every event or phenomena in relation, to ask ourselves why everything happens to me, or something happens to me, or what my inner intuition, which is the integration of entire existence, instinct, is trying to tell me. And the third W is, who am I? Every event is a conceptual matter, is in relation to wholeness. That means it is a fragment, it is a part. But when we see one part, therefore we cannot really say why this happened, because we don't see the wholeness, because our mind is not capable to do that.
Is it intuition that sees that wholeness, or is it instinct that sees that wholeness?
That are logical and experiences which we gathered as information in our brain, in our mind.
The pattern recognition capabilities.
Yeah, pattern, yeah. Therefore, that fragment, mind cannot really go so deeper, because mind only deals every moment with one pattern, cannot deal with entire pattern. That is why we always miss the wholeness.
Now, are you saying the left brain mind or the right brain wholeness mind?
I am talking about the left and right. We put it for a moment aside, and we see how the mind, brain, actually it is the manifestation of the mind.
Which is both left and right.
And right. And therefore, if we want to relate the integrated part of the wholeness to the right brain, that is fine. And all our experience and information we are gathering as a data every day to the left brain, which creates logic to the left, that is the evolved conceptual patterns in the brain system.
Yeah, the left brain is more the linear logical pattern recognition, whereas the right brain deals more with wholeness and intuition.
That's true. But what happened in the left brain, which I'm going to call it not the brain, because the brain for me,
it's not the brain isn't the mind.
No, it is not the mind. Mind is a information system, entire information system, which must be in cooperation with the universal mind, which is the wholeness.
That concept of there is a consciousness field within the brain, and the field is not, the brain is the physical corollary, but it creates a bioenergetic field, and that relationship of the field within, between the ears, I sometimes refer to the holodeck, you know, when I say a holodeck, it's like a holographic field, and how that relates to the holographic universe, which is all connected energetically in a quantum way with a quantum reality that we're just beginning to understand how that's connected.
Yeah.
That's, I think, what you're talking about, the relationship of mind to the universe.
Yeah. As you mentioned, it is the holographic. How does it work? The very simple example for that is a computer. Computer itself, all that material that it's tangible, it is the brain of that system.
Yeah.
But all the software, which is not tangible, we cannot touch to that. It is the software and the program and the system of information. Exactly the same is with the mind pattern. Universal mind pattern is equal, has the same pattern which a subatomic does, subparticle has. A virus has, a bacteria has. All of them, they have the same pattern.
It's all connected.
All connected, but meanwhile, they have the same pattern. That means they have six layers of information. No matter what, you are talking of subatom, quark, or you are talking about the elephant, or you are talking about the entire galaxy or a planet or you and me, each one of us, the mind pattern has six layers. The first layer, it is the physical form that you and me have, and we are functioning in that category. And the second layer, it is our imaging layer, that it is created all the abstract and basic images. And the third layer, it is the second memory, which everything whatever at this very moment that you are talking, it is going to be recorded and stays forever in the second memory. And that is the connects us. The third layer of information connects us to the entire existence from the beginning to the end. And that's the all past lives, all information, it is there. Therefore, whatever you are talking about, the right brain, it is exactly second memory. Second memory consists of entire information of the evolution from a FOB or force of base, which the cosmic atom is a relation with the time, energy, and mass, and time in relation in that when they are combined two FOBs together, they create three patterns, and each pattern has we call it positive, negative, neutral. No matter what, we are always creating two patterns. That is the duality comes in. And universe deals with these twin times. Twin times is the basic phenomena or basic aspects which deals within all energy patterns. Or then we go to the fourth layer of information. The fourth layer information, it is the parts of the logical and creates information and puts it in order in accordance with the laws. For instance, here it is the processor. The, whatever image you get, it passes through this first three layers, goes to the fourth one, and there it processes and says that, take this decision. And the fifth layer is the intuition layer, which connects last four layers to the sixth layer of information, which is the consciousness atom. Therefore, consciousness atom deals with no time. But from the fifth to the first layer, dealing with time. Time is the real aspects of the creation.
And now, where did, this is all fascinating to me. Where did you come up with this cosmology? Is this something that you just kind of figured out on your own, or is there any models of this that you looked at in cosmogenesis or Hindu cosmology or Buddhic philosophy, or is this something you came up on your own?
When be honest with you, Christopher, that when I was 18, I tried to solve the problem of life for myself, and I wanted to know what life is. Then, and I went through all that teachings, that whatever it was existed in 45 years ago, and since, and I studied. By the age of 30, I found there is no any truth or any pattern can satisfy me to see the wholeness and this pattern. And meanwhile, because those inner masters or saints or sages, they had gone through, all of them, they came out with some kind of information. When I put all together,
yeah, like Buddha with his Eightfold Path, and whenever they came out of the deep samadhi or their deep,
yes,
they always had the fourfold path, the eightfold path, the different
yeah,
paths to understanding this concept of unity and diversity,
or the
different dimensions. Does this model you have correlate to the frames of reference we know as like a one dimension, two dimension, three dimension, four dimension, five dimension? Does that have any direct correlation to the order of the universe in that regard, or is this more just a concept of taking this pattern recognition concept to a frame of reference that just makes sense to you?
Actually, if you wanted to put on the dimension first, second, third, or fourth, that's okay. But the point is, this terminology, universe, what I'm looking at from the universal points of view, not from my conceptual points of view.
Okay.
If I wanted to look to the universe doesn't have the mind to say this is the first dimension, this is second dimension, or third dimension. Universe doesn't know that these things. But because I wanted to make it clear for myself, therefore I have created these kind of things, but the universe doesn't have recognition for that.
Good. So this you wouldn't say that this is universal law talking about, or you wouldn't say that it's cosmic law, or this is the order, or you wouldn't say that this is the order of the universe.
No, this is the wholeness. That means when I'm saying there are layers of information, this is a terminology for the distinction, how it works. But universe doesn't have that layer that I'm saying, but all of them all in one unit at the same time working together, but
yeah.
different levels of the energy. For instance, when twin times comes in and creates two patterns at the same time, one energy, it is, if we call it positive or the negative, they are the opposite sides of each other, but at the same level. But just imagine if you add up to the positive side more and you call it goodness, and I the other side I say it's bad. But the universe doesn't have that distinction.
Right.
Because if I say that bad and good, good and bad, is therefore therefore we have created a God that every moment looks at these kind of things. But on the other hand, universe has laws. One
yeah.
of the laws, it's called the law of the balance.
Yeah, pleasure, pain, loss, gain, fame, and shame are all the same.
Yeah. And the other one, it is the law of synchronization or harmonization.
Yeah. Like attracts like.
Yeah. Therefore, when every pattern comes into action with each other, these three laws enters. And enters to that field and organizes them in order to make it happen. And how it happens, my behavior, my attitude creates combined pattern.
Right.
Combined pattern can be divided by the twin times to the, I call it wrong combined pattern, which Buddha says bad karma. And
yeah.
the wrong right combined pattern, it is the good karma. This
yeah.
is our definition. But the universe uses these two sets of energy or information within the laws that is governing these pattern, and if you create that lower energy, which is the bad karma or the combined pattern, therefore you are deviated from the balance to the very negative side or the animalistic side. So you as a human, you have not uplifted, but you are down. And the other side, which is the good karma or combined right combined pattern, that energy within the human consciousness with the laws of the spirituality, it puts you to the higher state of understanding, takes you to the higher state. Therefore, the laws in the universe work as a guidance.
Checks and balances.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it's like I call it the whole process of conscious evolution, this thing with making right choices. I remember once hearing that one of the ascended masters was in one of his dictations, I believe it was El Morio, said that if the goal is to make a whole 10,000 right choices will
mm-hmm.
balance the scales, you know. And he's referring to balancing this, you know, the scales of karma. So it's like the moment-to-moment patterning of intelligence that has more momentum towards right decisions than wrong decisions.
Exactly. Exactly, Christopher. Exactly. You know, this is the laws in the... within
yeah.
ourselves, it is
yeah.
laws that entire universe works under these laws, and I am a very tiny atom of consciousness within that cosmos, and
yeah.
all the laws within that atom of consciousness governing me, therefore me and the universe are one. So whatever I do, all those laws will be applicable to me and implemented.
Well,
and
that's really that concept in 2012 is what I call the judgment. I mean, when I say that, it's our own judgment. The judgment that we, this is the opportunity of lifetimes. If the veil really is thinning with the surge in what I call the source field, in other words, if this thing of galactic alignment, you know, what the Mayan calendar is really about, and this is what my show was about, by the way, last week, and I talked about in this in detail as far as there's an energy that's surging in our solar system right now because it is orbiting up and across the galactic plane, you know, and it's 25,800-year cycle. It comes into alignment with that plane, and it affects our atoms, our cells, electrons, you know, our the energetics of our solar system. And this is what's actually behind global warming, you know, the real story. I mean, all the planets in our solar system have been changing their atmospheres dramatically, not just the Earth, because our whole solar system is in alignment with hundreds of billions of star systems in our Milky Way galaxy. You know, and I actually have the last article I have on my website. I go there's a animated cartoon about 2 minutes long that shows this cycle of our solar system up and across the galactic plane in this 25,800-year cycle. So what's going on now is that the energetics on an atomic level, which is like this is what I explained in the show last week, and this is, I wanted to bring this to what you're saying now, because I think the timeliness of what you're saying is really important. I think that right now there is, one of the reasons there's, in 2012, there's this mass awakening, is because it's this surge in the energetic field of the whole electronic field, torus field of the Earth, the torus field of our galaxy in alignment with our solar system. That alignment and that surge of energy as relates to a resonance in our sun and the energetics of our sun, and again, they're all connected with torus fields, and this is the, you know, the whole understanding of the Thrive movement, you know, the thought form they use of the torus field, all through that incredible movie on the Thrive movement, where they show this graphic, this thought form of torus fields, which are what's going on an atomic level, on a cellular level, the fields of cell mitosis, with our DNA, with our heart, the heart center, the white fire core of the heart, the auric field of the body is a torus field. The auric field of the Earth is a torus field. Of our sun, our solar system is a torus field, and our galaxy, and these fields are all surging right now. I mean, you know, specifically our solar system in alignment with the great central sun and hundreds of billions of star systems. So there's this surging energy right now, and it's stimulating, it's activating, it's resonating in our atoms, cells, electrons, our consciousness, where there's an awakening going on. You know, people are really waking up to these concepts of the language of consciousness. They're becoming more conscious of how they are conscious, which I call conscience. It's like a psyche feedback thing, just like biofeedback. You know, when you become conscious of that which was unconscious, and not only will to control, you can't resist conscious control. And so we're becoming self-conscious, not in a negative sense, but the self-conscious, like our higher self, our real self, or this universal self, this universal knowing of, you know, the law, the language of light, life, love, you know, what is the moral imperative with a moral compass that says, you know, I am, I can, I will, and by God's grace, you know, done deal, winning from the beginning, fantastic, and getting better. Anyway, I got a little carried away there, but I think that what you're referring to, what you're talking about, is referencing this awakening that's going on.
Yeah. You know, as I mentioned earlier, that in the universal view point of view, there is no any changes happens to one piece and not to happen to the other. There is no discrimination.
It's all connected, yeah.
It is all connected. When it is all
field.
Connected, and therefore, we have to look what is going on. The question is, what is going on? If we just say that is because of this evolution consciousness, but we have to see it from every viewpoint of view. For instance, humanity has reached to a point that in some country, people are getting bored, realized, and they, you know, their life has no any meaning anymore, because people, they think living like animals, going to war, coming, eating, mm-hmm. and this is not human consciousness. Mm-hmm. This is the estate of lower human consciousness.
Yes, yeah, not humane.
But, then, what happened last 3-4,000 years? Humanity has passed 3 stages of knowledge. It is called general knowledge. It started from, supposing, from the Greek point of view, or the Buddhism, or many thousand years from that, from the Europe, Western Europe, from the Plato, if we take it to this moment, and from religious point of view, if we go to up to several thousand years ago, up to classic knowledge. This is called general knowledge. Humanity was so, you know, relaxed, knowledge was so limited. But in classic knowledge, humanity's knowledge and consciousness, awareness, here I am calling it awareness, jumped from that stage within 100, 200 years to the quantum knowledge.
To quantum knowledge, that's this understanding of quantum knowledge. And quantum, even computers, you know, the analogy you made to the computer, I think, is important, because I know that sometimes when I'm on the computer, if I'm in the right, if I'm on the in the right quantum field, or if I'm in the right quantum consciousness, the computer really works differently. I have experienced it so many times, to where it's almost like there's another intelligence, and I don't know, and I've heard that when you're in the quantum field, and the whole computation process is the atom, cells, electrons, the field is influenced just by your consciousness alone. And you know, this is an aspect of quantum reality, that where you put your attention actually affects the quantum field.
Exactly.
And I know that I've talked to a friend who has a close friend who works in the Skunk Works, you know, that works with these these you might say covert black ops that are dealing with quantum computing, and he says all their computers are quantum computers. He says they work on an entirely different level that most people just can't even conceive, mm-hmm. and that quantum computing is a reality. It's just like quantum healing, when quantum medicine and quantum biology is a reality, it's just being suppressed.
That's right. Yeah.
And all this stuff is about to break out. We're right on the threshold. I really believe in 2012 of everything going into the quantum realm of quantum healing, you know, quantum computing, quantum consciousness, and what that means as far as a real time, instant, everywhere connection. Connection that the consciousness alone affects the quantum field in a way that is really going, well, what Greg Braden calls the zero point in 2012. And the different people have different names for it, but it's coming to a point where these concepts you're talking about, I think, are really good frames of reference for going there.
Actually, when we apply twin times pattern, we are coming to two types of quantum: quantum field and anti-quantum field. These two is the governing body of the physical states of consciousness. Please, I'm repeating it. These quantum field and anti-quantum field are the operational and functional aspects of the physical states of consciousness.
It's like matter and antimatter.
And when we go to the inner information, inner consciousness, another aspect is coming up. That is called a spiritual or consciousness knowledge. We are stepping into that. That means as you mention 2012, it is the turning point, that means physical forms remains, but the quantum field and the anti-quantum field are going to deal with consciousness or spiritual knowledge, which is the fourth stage of knowledge that humanity is stepping into that. We are on the edge of entering. When we enter to the spiritual knowledge, the laws of the universe within the spiritual knowledge or the consciousness knowledge start changing entire quantum field and anti-quantum field within the physical form.
Well, I'm not sure if I understand. I understand the concept of quantum field as far as how it's all connected. The anti-quantum field, from what I understand, it would seem to be how it's all disconnected.
No. It's not disconnected. No. Both of them, they are not against each other. It is like a male and female. Quantum field, always we are dealing, and all the formula that we have know, we are dealing with the time that Einstein said it is in your watch. Whatever your watch says is the time. But the universe doesn't recognize this time.
Right.
This is called eventograph.
Eventograph.
But, yeah. This is the, at this very moment, you and I talking and your audience hearing, this is the event. The frame of time that it is something like some time, which I put name on it, this is called eventograph. That means time at this very moment, it is a graphing the event, not the real time. The real time, it comes from the universal time, which is the twin times. And one time, it deals with the quantum knowledge, which call it positive, and anti-one, it is another part of the twin times. Therefore, these two form or duality are working to each other and combining to each other, forming the physical form. Physical form doesn't come from exactly one quantum of knowledge. It comes from two different states of quantum knowledge. Therefore, physics form duality. That duality that you and I living in it, related to the aspects of the information which each quantum knowledge is carrying with itself.
Okay, I'm not sure if all listeners are following this.
I'm sorry.
I do realize that that what there is going on multidimensional stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
And I do understand that the whole concept of the unified field has multidimensional stuff going on, and mm-hmm. the concept of time, moment to moment, it's kind of like the idea of a motion picture. It's all an illusion with motion pictures. It's just single pictures that are flickering at a rate that our perception interprets it as a movie, but they're all actually, you know, like the motion of the pictures, you know, flickering very quickly gives that illusion, but it's not really time. It's just the illusion of movement in time because of the individual, you know, it's all broken down, you might say, to different, you know, different pieces. Just like your concept that you're talking about has all these different components.
Exactly.
The integration of all that as far as the understanding the language of consciousness so we can become more conscious of how we are conscious, how mm-hmm. to frame all of that in a congruent way. I like your analogy in your book with the movie It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
And how as a way of to explain the nature of time and different ways of perceiving time with these multidimensional realities based on our choices. In other words, just like in the movie, you know, we all tend to take for granted, you know, you might say all the good things we've done in life. And we take that for granted, and how important every choice that we make, in a positive or a negative way, can affect the whole reality in a way.
Exactly.
And in a way that, you know, if we hadn't lived or if we had died 20 years ago, how the whole world for so many other people would be different.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just that the movie is just so, it's a profound statement of that concept of every decision that we make, every choice that we make, and the more that more people, you know, as a unified field, this thing is, this concept of the quantum field of all of our decisions being made and how they create a field altogether and how that affects the entire field of the Earth, mm-hmm. how our DNA is all connected and our thoughts are all connected on a quantum level, and how this is just transforming the Earth.
Mm.
So I'm getting a little beep here, and I'm not sure if that's my phone going out. If it is, we need to wrap up the show here in a little bit anyway. If my phone for some reason should go out, and I don't know why it would do that, but I'm getting a little beep here. Anyway, I did want to reference that aspect in your book when you referenced the movie It's a Wonderful Life, yeah. That understanding. I wanted to kind of reference this thing again of the conscious evolution in your book is a major theme, and of course I think that is the major theme of 2012. That
exactly.
the process of consciousness has been accelerating, and we're coming to a point. Some people call it zero point, or universal co-creation, or a synchronicity and a serendipity that, you know, it's all coming together. And I'm fascinated with this concept of we're evolving one's identity from the ego of a lower animalistic instinctive brain to the sense of I am in the sense of the Latin word for ego is I am, but you have your little me or the lower I am, and you have your real self or your higher self, or some people call it a source connection or a universal connection or a quantum connection with universe. Which is like our real self, our larger self, our quantum self, and so, this process of how we discern the difference between the wholeness of the higher and the sense of separation or duality of the lower self, where it's sense of separate from it's my understanding of polarity is how they're connected with a two and one, but duality is the sense of separation and how there's a division there.
Mm-hmm. Actually, it is a very profound question, Christopher.
<Yeah.
laughs> Humanity has been dealing with your question from the ancient wisdom teaching up to now.
I think it's time we answered it.
Actually, I think if we go on, we can talk about this hours and hours. But
yeah.
At this very moment, humanity is the result of the evolution from the different states of consciousness. Came up to this very moment. Billion years has passed, and now we are here.
Yeah,
we have evolved from the very cosmic atom folk to the subparticle microorganism to planet animals, at last human. Every part of this evolution has evolved with enormous changes and integrations of patterns. Human mind carries entire characters and instincts of its ancestors in integrated forms. At the human state, two forms of images started to build up, basic image and abstract images. They are the source of thought forms. From that, almost five distinctive passions came out. Each passion carries a range of characters, and all of them are functional. That makes you you and me and your son and your daughter and your family all different because the range of effectiveness of these. The left brain deals with this part, and this is called ego. As you mentioned, as a lower animalistic instinctive. And the right brain, which is the another part of the twin times, deals with the other aspects, which is the whole images.
And intuition.
And intuition, which is the third, second memory works with it. And the fifth layer of subconsciousness works with it. And that right brain goes on. So, if you're referring to the big ego, to the right brain or I am, I don't know that terminology, and absolutely that is great idea. But my viewpoint is right brain connected to the consciousness atom, which operates whenever the mind is still or at very relaxed moment, it is, and the brain is working with that mind, then consciousness atoms, energy, and information itself intuitively comes to the right brain for the function.
Yeah, and of course, we all have a left brain and a right brain, and they're switching between each other very quickly all the time.
That's right, exactly.
And we think in images and symbols or pattern recognition of the left brain, but the right brain thinks, you know, holistically with
exactly.
more a discernment with frequency and feeling rather than patterns.
Exactly.
And so the combination of that and the evolution to a balance, again, checks and balances from the two, That's what I understand, and of course that is the love model from the linear logical left to the right brain spherical, and the ongoing co-creation of the left and right brain, just like the left and right hemispheres of the Earth. If you're going to talk about the whole global consciousness,
exactly.
You've got the hemispheres of the Earth, like the hemispheres of the brain, and they're holographically connected, just like we Western dominant civilization reads left to right, Eastern dominant the right brain dominant Eastern civilizations, they read from right to left with their symbol languages, their calligraphy. They read from right to left, and we read from left to right. And it's interesting because the hemispheres of the whole Earth and the collective consciousness of humanity is at the same point of either, you know, we all come together and hang together, or we're all going to hang separately.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
As Ben Franklin said at the beginning of the Revolutionary War.
Yeah.
So it's, I'm fascinated with this, the relationship of the holographic field in the holodeck between the ears. You know, the two hemispheres, the brain, is like the holodeck, and how it's working from the left to the right, the upper brain, the lower brain, the forebrain, the rear brain. You know, like a proactive foresight in the forebrain and reactive hindsight in the rear brain. You know, the checks and balances and that whole process as we're becoming more conscious of how we are conscious and processes that involve and evolve our individual and collective conscience in a balanced way, in a holistic way, in a unified field quantum way. To me, that is the movement of 2012 to what I call zero point or spherical consciousness, you know, the wholeness consciousness, the quantum consciousness of how it's all connected. As we reach that point of conscience as a psyche feedback relationship of consciousness of how we are conscious, as we involve and evolve conscience, that revolution in higher conscience, I really believe, is the fulfillment of wholeness.
Exactly, exactly. When, as long as we are not conscious, that means we are not evolved.
Right. We're just animals.
You know, animals, they have their own
consciousness.
You know, consciousness, you know, awareness.
Let's they have their own awareness. Rocks have awareness. Crystals have awareness.
Yeah, exactly.
They hold energy.
But they are not conscious of their own consciousness.
That's right. They're not conscious of how they are conscious.
That's exactly. We as a human, when become human being consciousness, when we uplift to the being consciousness, then we will be conscious of all of the consciousness which is dealing with the Trinity.
Yeah.
And when they're dealing with Trinity, exactly we are in the highest state. We are the law on ourselves, and we are whatever we choose. We can do it because
that's the V in the love model.
That's exactly
the L, the O, and the V, and that three in one concept of the throne, the three in one, the throne, the concept of the throne of God or love or that Holy Spirit of love in action, the spirit of in action is the co-creation process. That is how we co-create with God or love or divinity or, you know, the quantum field or however people reference, you know, the holy whole.
Exactly.
And we're gonna have to do a wrap here. I do think my phone is going out, which hasn't happened yet with this new phone, but and I haven't been on the phone that much, but
because you gave your energy to that phone and it's working.
I overloaded the circuits or something. But Amjad, I want to thank you for being on the show today. I'm really grateful that you were able to share some of your perspectives on this, what I consider the most important conscious evolution keynotes of 2000. You're referencing them, you're discussing them, you're involving our more consciousness of how we are conscious. And I think if people are interested in your book, you can get it at Amazon.com, The Episode of Life, Consciousness, Creation, and the Universe. And Dr. Amjad Fatemi, thank you so much for being
Thank
with
you
our
for
show.
Having me, and really, thanks for everything and your time and your knowledge. It's really fascinating.
I am so grateful for having you with us. And so,
bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I have enjoyed giving it. There's a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of Cosmic Love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the Internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense. And it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule law language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change, only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either, the internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love, and the foundation principles for this is the love model, a universal law language interface for net reality that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness. The five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience, it will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all, always has, always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the light workers who are love makers. The internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. Take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, now, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with cosmic love. It only gets better as you pay attention. This is how cosmic love works. Pay attention because attention pays in ways that make cosmic love the new currency for global peace and prosperity. Your attention is your consciousness. The next economy for planetary civilization will pay attention to the value of virtue, the virtue of cosmic love. The family of man and our global village must be connected to this one virtue. We must pay attention to the first principles of higher consciousness if we are to transcend the old paradigms of scarcity consciousness. That scarcity.